right. Hey, everybody. I'm Laurie.
And I'm Tommy.
And we want to welcome you to our introductory episode of our podcast, Untamed Terrain.
So on this podcast, we're going to be covering quite a few different topics about our lives and how we've gotten to the point that we are now and how it's working for us.
Yep. So we wanted to introduce ourselves, give a little bit of a backstory, our origin story, if you will. We've been married. We're getting ready to go on 2 years. Mm-hmm. And we've been together for a little bit longer than that. And we've both been married before, so this is not our first rodeo.
Married once or twice. So I'll go ahead and get started. I was married twice, right out of in my 20s and then again in my 40s. And out of my second marriage, have 5 boys, twins that are 16-year-old. I've got a 15-year-old, one that's about to be 13, and an 11-year-old. And so we've blended our families, and Laurie will tell you about her kids in a moment. But when I met you, I was like, all right, this is it. We're going to do it right. And I think in the last 2.5 years, 3 years, we've done pretty well.
Yeah, I would agree. I've also been married twice. Mm-hmm. I got married the first time at the ripe old age of 19, the way good Mormon girls do. We had 2 kids together. And I decided about the time I turned 25 that I don't think I was cut out to be a good Mormon wife. And that's what he wanted. And so we just wanted different things, went different ways. Got married again at the age of, 28, and have 2 kids from that marriage. So my kids, I have 3 boys and 1 girl. The oldest is 22, and then I have 19. My youngest son turns 17 in a week, and my daughter turns 14 in a couple of months. So we do, again, as Tommy said, we have combined 9 children, and 8 of them are boys. So we've got a lot of boy power in our family.
The, ex-Mormon and Hispanic thing working for us.
Yeah, so we've got a huge family. And it's true to form, you know. We both come from origins where big families are applauded. And I don't mm-hmm. think either one of us on our own decided to have a big family, but, you know.
I'm glad that how we've made it work out and how we've handled the ups and downs of raising teenagers and combining families the way we have. It's not an easy feat, and there's mistakes that are going to be made, and we've made our own mistakes even within our marriage now, but we are able to learn from that quickly. And that's what I love about our life together and how it's worked and why it's worked, is that you and I sit down with the hardest things that can ever cross someone's plate. Not all of it just yet, but, you know, enough to that it's challenged us to say, all right, you know, we're not going to go back to our original responses, our knee-jerk defensive reactions. We're going to sit back and we're going to look at things as a whole, and especially for the other partner and how they react to certain situations, and let it sink in for a minute before we say, okay, well, this is what I noticed, and this is what I want to talk about, and this is how I think we should fix it. You know, what are your thoughts? And we've made it work. We made it really work. And that's why when we talked about starting this podcast, we're like, we're no experts. We don't have degrees in psychology. We're not marriage counselors. No. But people look at us and say, wow, why is your marriage so great? You guys look so happy. You guys, you know, yeah, it is new, but I don't see it changing anytime soon.
No. And I think, you know, one of the things that we were asked when we first started doing this podcast is, you guys have 2 failed marriages. I mean, because really, that's what a divorce is. It's a failure in the relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, and some failures are good. Mm-hmm. But, you know, why should we listen to you? What the heck do you know? You can't even keep a marriage together.
Yeah.
You know, from a timeline standpoint, my first marriage, we were together for 6 years. We're actually married for 9, but that 3-year stint there is another story for another time if I choose to tell it. My second marriage, we were together for 13. So it wasn't short periods of time. But at the end of the day, both marriages fell apart, just like yours did, for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, what gives us the right to give advice on relationships is the fact that we were willing to learn. I mean, the statistics behind it, I think it's 50% of first marriages are destined to failure. I think it goes up to 75% for second marriages, and it's over 90% for third marriages.
Yeah.
So when the stats are stacked against us, when the deck is stacked against us, how do we make this work?
Yeah.
And it's what you said. Like I think we both came, I can't speak for you, but I came into this saying, hey, I'm not going to pretend I'm something I'm not. Mm-hmm. I did that in my first marriage. It didn't work. I am not going to put up with things that I am canonologically against, which is what happened in my second marriage. I am going to put all the cards on the table. You're going to know exactly what you're getting from me.
Yep.
And I'm not going to compromise who I am or what I find important to make you happy. You either fit in my family, you either fit with my kids, you either fit with me, or you don't.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's, you know, you talked about the origins and how you started and your marriages. You know, I met my first wife in high school, together a little off and on throughout then. We got married when I was 24. She was 23. Still learning a lot about yourselves as kids. You know,
I was 16.
So, you know, young marriage, we were together 7 years, I believe. And then I said married again in my 40s, it was actually 30s. You know, my latest ex-wife was pregnant with the twins before we even got married. We got married because we wanted to be insured, and I had a job that would insure us both. So moving to California, it's like, all right, we got to be able to afford to live here. We got to have insurance. And that, I'm not going to say that that marriage was based solely on that, but it was a learning experience and how and what we wanted in a relationship. And after that relationship failed, it set me back quite a bit. I had to realize that, okay, yes, I made some mistakes, but the communication was lost, you know, and I needed to find a way to communicate and really look deep inside of what I wanted out of a relationship. And when we met, you know, we were both working, we were both in relationships.
Meaning you and I.
Yeah, the two of us met, we were both working, and when I was dating somebody, you were still married on your second marriage. And
once, I've got to pause right there.
Yeah.
We didn't have a relationship.
No.
We were coworkers, and that was it.
Yeah,
we didn't start our relationship.
Definitely getting to that.
Until more than a year later.
You left, and once we started talking again, I didn't have any fear in saying things that were 100% honest, 100% true. Because like you said, this is what you get. All right. This is what you're walking into. You're walking into someone who's been divorced twice and has 5 kids, and
which was a big thing for you.
Yeah.
Because you needed somebody who was willing to accept the fact that you had, as we were introduced, 1,000 kids.
Yeah.
And you were meeting somebody who mm-hmm. also had 1,000 kids. So we both knew what it was like.
Yeah. And my boys come a week at a time. So every other week, you know, we've got 7 kids in the house, and how are we going to manage this? What are we going to do with this? We've had some really bumpy roads in the beginning, and we'll get to some of those things and how we handled that adversity early on and really set the foundation for what our relationship, what our marriage, what our family was going to look like, and everyone's role within that family. And it's still ongoing. Like, the kids still have their issues. They still have teenage problems. They still have girl problems. They still have boy problems. They still have all this stuff that we're daily dealing with. So it's, but with you and I doing it together, it's felt pretty effortless. You know, it's been hard, you know, we're sitting and the stuff that we throw in on top of it doesn't make it much easier, but it's exciting. You know, it's like we're sitting
here. There's never a dull moment.
When they're right now at home, there's a table full of vegetables waiting to be canned. You know, it's like, there's things that we do that help keep us sane, I think, even though it feels like a lot of extra work. And that's something that we want to get across and out to you guys. And whether or not you take anything from it, we hope that it's an entertaining story
as
it goes on, because honestly, you probably could do a docuseries on it, on just following us around in our daily lives. It's pretty boring during the day. We both work at home, but just in general, the things that we come across and how we deal with situations concerning our kids and just what they get into. It's funny. It's a circus for sure.
It really is. And they riff off each other really well. Yeah. But I do want to kind of bring something back, which is kind of a funny situation for us. When we first started to talk, Tommy told me on the phone, we need to set some ground rules, which is really funny. I actually laughed out loud, and I think he probably thought I was making fun of him. But, you know, that ground rules is a big thing in my life, and that's because of, you know, what my parents did when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. But we set some ground rules. We ended up breaking them. We weren't going to catch feels. We were just friends.
That didn't work out too well, did it?
And that's another thing, which we'll talk about in a little bit, is that. But I did want to put forth that we do have some ground rules for this podcast. Yeah, I mean, we are dealing with seven minors. Yeah. And currently, seven teenagers and all of the kids. I mean, we have a 19-year-old and the youngest is going to be 13 next month. I mean, not the youngest, but the youngest teenager will be 13 next month. So we've got seven teenagers. And we want to protect their dignity. And, you know, we may be their parents, but they didn't choose us. And so we're not going to drag them in or exploit them. Their involvement in the podcast and anything we do is going to be completely up to them. If we want to share a specific instance about any one of them, we're going to get their express permission to use their names. If they don't give it, then we're going to share it in a general aspect.
And of course, their other parents will have knowledge and have their permission.
And that's the other thing is that, you know, we do have, you know, four other adults who were part of our lives, and we're not here to dish on them. And, you know, it's a hard line to walk to talk about, you know, why our marriage has failed while preserving the dignity of the other parties. But we're not here to gossip. You know, we're not here to rag on other people. Our experiences in those relationships will be our own, obviously, and we've learned from those. And so there are going to be instances where we bring up the past, but it is more to show our growth and how knowledge of ourselves and situations have led to us being successful in this marriage. Yeah. And also to give you a bit of a background about, you know, what did and didn't work, because ultimately that's what advice is about. And having that experience is, you know, really the only expertise we have going into this. I mean, what Dr. Spock wasn't a parent, so what right did he have to give any advice on parenting? Yet look at how many of our siblings or parents were raised with that in mind.
Yeah. And we'll go through, like I said, different situations, different scenarios, different topics. Some of it will require your involvement. You know, we'll ask for questions after different episodes, and we'll maybe have some live guests as we move on and bring some people in. But the topics will be random, other than our first few podcasts, which we've kind of decided we want to put out certain situations and certain topics and talk about them. But after that point, I think we're kind of mix things up a little bit and just pull something out of our jars. Mm-hmm. And give you guys some different insights on how we feel about it. Like I said, we're not experts by any means, but we've learned over and over throughout our lives through the mistakes we've made and through the mistakes we've seen with people, with children, with parenting, in the workplace even. There are situations where I know I would go back and change things that I did at work.
Yeah.
So just to be a better person, to be a more successful person in life and monetarily and make better decisions. But that's not something that we're stuck on. That's not something that I sit here and dig on the past and why didn't that happen? Why did I do this? The reason our relationship works so well is that, well, this is what I did wrong. So I'm going to make sure that I really focus on not making those same mistakes and just being overall a better communicator.
Absolutely. And I think you hit it right on the head. I mean, I think one of the issues that these serial marriages, these several time divorcee individuals experience is mostly because there's not self-correction going on. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot to be able to unbiasedly look at what happened in a situation and be accountable for what your role is and say, you know, this happened and this is why I'm responsible for what happened. Now, that's not to say that things didn't happen to us that we didn't want to have happen, that, you know, to use a term we were victim to, but there's also our interaction and our reaction to it. And to be able to identify, this is what happened, but this is probably what would have been a better reaction or a better move for me to make. I think that's what makes us key to being able to express our experience and offer advice where you take it, or like you said, entertainment if the advice is stupid, because by all means, we are not perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, we have, we've just done what we want to do, and not without putting anyone else's life at risk or their path at risk, including our children. But we come up with an idea and we're like, yeah, let's do it. And if we mess up, so what? We failed before. We'll mm-hmm. fail again. We'll make mistakes together again. But you and I both will learn from those simultaneously. And it's not going to be a, well, you did this and you did this. And there's really no finger pointing in any of these situations and any of these things that we decide to do together. And so it's been pretty awesome.
Yeah, it has been. You know, and I do want to hit on something. And another bit of feedback we got, especially when people get to see us, is, you know, you guys kind of seem like the perfect marriage. Like, what are you doing? Like, what trials do you guys have? And our relationship is not without trials. No. I mean, this is the second time we've recorded the first podcast, because the way things went in the first podcast, we felt really good and went home and slept. And in the middle of the night, I, who may have undiagnosed anxiety, possibly, woke up about some things that had happened. And my mind went a mile a minute to the worst case scenario. And how does this look? Because, you know, appearances are a big thing. How does this look to other people? What is going to be the backlash of airing this? And it scared me, and it upset me. And it was, I wouldn't say necessarily a conflict between us, but it was something that happened in our conversation that I really was not okay with.
It was a 2 or 3 day process to kind of get over that hump and realize, okay, I see your side. You presented how you felt, and we talked about things. Obviously, we just asked certain questions, and we assured each other that that's not where it was going, but I get it. Let's redo this. Let's, you know, and we're not trying to put out a perfect image, but the
conflict feedback, resolution.
The feedback with that. And then ultimately what happened is, yeah, we resolved things together and we talked about it and we decided, okay, it's probably the best thing then.
So I want to ask you, mm-hmm. when I came to you that next day and I said, I think we need to redo episode one. Mm-hmm. What, in your opinion, because I was the one with the issue, what worked with that conversation, in your opinion, from the receiver of the message, mm-hmm. what worked? And I also want to know what didn't work in how I delivered my concern to you.
I felt like immediately I had to really look back and look at my response or my words that made you feel uncomfortable and say, all right, I totally understand how that would make you feel. Also had to sit with it for a minute and think, okay, does what you're feeling hold any weight? And think about that for a moment. I'm like, well, not on my end, but I know that why you felt the way you did. So what worked for me is that you were direct. You were able and comfortable enough to tell me why you felt the way you did. And I don't really think that anything didn't work about it. It was, I tell you that I felt frustrated because I know that that's not how I felt concerning the topic we're talking about. And we don't need to get into details, but I know that that's not what I was feeling. When I tend to talk, when I tend to share stories, I'll just let it all out. Like here's a complete history of Tommy, right. You know, from birth to now. And I'll go into detail on probably some things that don't need to have detail. And so it's a part of storytelling for me. Mm-hmm. It's a part of wanting to get to know somebody. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think you being able to tell me why you felt the way you did without feeling like you were going to get yelled at or my back turned towards you or just, you know, shut you out for 2 days until you come to your senses and realize that quit being stupid, quit being this, you know, because that's not how I feel. That's I've never felt that way about someone expressing their emotions, but mm-hmm. I have gotten defensive about it. So right. Probably in the past I would have been like, whatever, you know, that's not even, that's no, shut up. not shut up, but
yeah,
you get what I'm saying. I've not, you know, I was able to sit with it for a few minutes and even throughout the day,
right,
as we kind of worked through that little hump.
So when this issue came up, because, you know, my previous marriage mm-hmm. was not without severe conflict. Mm-hmm. When this issue came up, I was a little concerned with how do I share this experience with Tommy mm-hmm. and not have it turn into a fight?
Yeah.
And, you know, this is going to sound so rudimentary, but it's really important. It's especially in communication. Mm-hmm. And it kind of stems off of the words of, it might have been Mahatma Gandhi, it could have been Martin Luther King, but the quote is, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. No one can make you feel anything. Your feelings and your emotions are yours and your own. Mm-hmm. You choose to feel a certain way based on what somebody says. And so when I came to you with this concern, what I didn't want to say is, you made me feel insignificant because of A, B, C, D. What I did say is, when this happened, I felt A, B, C, D.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, you had no need to be defensive, right, because I wasn't saying that you did anything to me. Mm-hmm. I was saying you did something and this is how I felt. And I think in a conflict, that's really, really important, that you own your own experience, you own your own emotions, and you don't automatically go into the attack and making the other person wrong. Whether you're in a conversation with your children, whether you're in a conversation with your spouse or your partner, or whether you're in a conversation with a coworker, you need to own your own experience without putting the other person on the defensive,
right,
because all that does is breed more conflict.
Yeah. And I think the way we handled it was about as textbook as you could. And we made some, you know, we had the hard conversation, and that's kind of what our relationship has been based on, is like, all right, you know, did I take a gamble by telling or asking you or saying that here are the ground rules for our relationship? You know, you could just turn and whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't need to talk to you, you know.
Yeah.
But those are just simple things that have kind of snowballed into making that hard conversation easier.
Right.
Because we approach it head on. We can sit with the responses for a minute before reacting or responding,
mm-hmm.
Because it's not really a reaction anymore. It's more of a response. Like, all right, I see where you're coming from. You know, I understand that's why you felt the way you did. Here's how I feel, and here's what the situation brought out for me.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of take that, roll it out, and make it flat and start over again.
Absolutely.
We've done that with a few scenarios in our short time together, but I see it as a good roadmap to where we're going.
Right.
And, you know, where we're going includes a lot of different time management and events and things happening that can really be stressful.
Yeah.
And it's gonna put a strain on us physically and mentally, but I'm not afraid of facing that head on.
Right.
With everything else that we do.
Right. So. You know, it's interesting because you talked about having difficult conversations, mm-hmm. and how that's kind of been a foundation that we have. In my experience and having watched my parents go through marriage, I realized that, you know, it's going to sound so rudimentary, but the past is in the past, right? Yeah. If something happens, like this situation with the podcast, I could have harbored my feelings and let it go, because you can't unsay what you said, right? Right. I can change the way I felt it. I can choose to, you know, harbor the feelings or not, but you can't change the mm-hmm. past, right? And the only reason we brought this up is because it was something that was going to become very public, and that would have only made the situation worse.
Yeah.
But, you know, say if it was a situation where it wasn't going to go public and you had said something and it hurt my feelings, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, share how you feel about it and then let it go.
Yeah.
Because you can't change the fact that it was said. Mm-hmm. And I've seen, you know, with my parents, slights that were never let go. And, you know, it gave me a good perspective as far as making relationships work, in the sense that, you know, there's a couple different ways to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
If there is an event that happens and it upsets you, talk about it. so that your partner knows what happened and how you feel about it.
Right.
To keep it from becoming a habit, okay? And then let it go. Like, don't continue to beat them over the head with something that can't be changed.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put that added stress on your relationship. But if it becomes an issue where it's a pattern of behavior, where the same thing keeps happening, that's when you need to stand up and take notice.
Yep.
You know, to use a phrase of a well-known author, you know, that's not little stuff to sweat. That's it. That's a big thing. Mm-hmm. And that's where you really need to look at, okay, something needs to change. And if it right. doesn't change, then you need to look at it as a bigger issue.
Yeah.
But man, you know, you can't change the past. You no. got to let stuff go, right?
No, if we sat there and hung on to everything that we've gone through in our past two marriages and our life in general, we'd be bogged down. And this podcast, this marriage, this all of it would fall to pieces.
Absolutely.
Instantly. So.
And that's why you gotta have the hard conversations
yeah.
so that you can get through it. Because, you know, the only way out of pain is to get through the pain.
Right.
And sometimes you can fix it and sometimes you can't, which we've both found. Sometimes you
exactly.
just can't fix it and it's time to put things to rest.
Yeah. So that's, with that being said, a little preview of how things are going to go forward with us and this podcast. We look forward to having the feedback. We look forward to the stories we're going to tell. They probably won't always be relationship driven, but we're going to cover quite a few different topics, anywhere from relationships to sex to kids to building a business together to handling conflict at home and work. It's going to be an array of things that life throws at us, and we kind of spin that back to you guys and how we handled it and what we're able to do with it.
So we invite you to follow us along, you know, hit subscribe and stay tuned for the next episode. And if you have questions or concerns or suggestions for topics, mm-hmm. please feel free to email us. It's untamedterrainpodcast@gmail.com.
Untamed Terrain Pod.
Oh, sorry, I lied. UntamedTerrainPod@gmail.com. And we'll put you in there. If you want to be anonymous, let us know. If you want us to use your first name, let us know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we want to help you guys navigate your chaos because we're constantly navigating our own and have done.
Exactly. So thanks for tuning in, you all. We'll see you on the next episode.
Thank you.